Today we celebrate Passover. Not literally, we're not literally celebrating Passover, but we celebrate the true Passover and what Passover pointed toward. Now, I wonder what you know about Passover. Maybe when you hear that word, you think of modern-day Jews and their celebrations that they have around this time of year. Or perhaps you think back to the first Passover. That's where I want to take your mind right now, back to the first Passover. You may have remembered this story. Perhaps you've seen that old Disney movie. I think it was called The Prince of Egypt. Is that what it's called? Yeah, you might remember that one. There's been other takes on it as well. But to catch you up to what was happening at that time, the people of Israel, the 12 tribes of Jacob, were in captivity. They were slaves in a foreign country. And a foreign country being Egypt. And there was this weird thing where they were a nation of people, right? But they weren't in their own land. We usually associate nations with land. But this was a nation of people who were actually in captivity in Egypt. And God came to them because the people cried out and they said, Lord, would you please give us your salvation? Would you please free us from our slavery? And God heard their cry and he came to Egypt and he said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And God sent many messages to the people. He sent messages that were heard by both the people of Egypt and by his special people, Israel. It was a message to let my people go and for the people to come out from slavery and to go and worship him. But Pharaoh said, no, I will not let the people go. And despite the words that God spoke to him, despite Moses coming with the very words of God to him, he rejected the message and he hardened his heart against God's word. So God set out to show that he is the God of gods. He is the one who has all authority and rules over every nation on the earth and over in the whole universe. God came to undermine Pharaoh. And so through Moses, his messenger, he brought about several plagues. I'm sure you know the plagues. You've heard of the 10 plagues of Egypt. I'm not going to go through them right now, but you might remember them. The ones like the plagues of blood and the plague of frogs. One after the other, and each with a gap in between where there was an opportunity for Pharaoh and the people of Egypt to hear the Lord and to turn away and to listen and obey. But they didn't. Their hearts were hardened. And after much patience and after much long suffering and after kind of building up in level of judgment upon judgment, eventually God was going to pour out his wrath on the people. The final of those 10 plagues was going to be the plague of the firstborn, the plague of the death of the firstborn. So even though each plague had been terrible in its own right, now we were going to be faced with the worst and most awful yet. God was going to reveal his terrible, and I mean that in the literal sense, terrifying, his terrible death, wrath, and he was going to reveal his judgment by demanding of the people their lives. But interestingly, even in this moment of God's terrible judgment against the people, what did he demand? Instead of taking each and every life that stood in rebellion against him, even in his judgment, he was gracious and he was going to take only one life per household. Despite the fact that all of them had stood in rebellion against God, he was gracious in only taking the firstborn. But God made a way of escape. It was not going to be death for every household, at least not in the way that the wrath of God was going to bring momentarily. He said, there is a way of escape. If you would hear my voice and you would look to him in faith, by taking a lamb and sacrificing the lamb and placing the blood on the doorposts. If you take the blood and put it on the doorposts, the shed blood of that lamb would mean that there would be nobody who would die in that house that night. As we read in verse 7 there, in verse chapter 12 of Exodus, they're to slaughter a lamb for a household, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat. The blood over the door. The blood of the lamb. The blood of the Passover lamb would be the sign that these people belong to the Lord, that they are looking to him, that they are trusting in him, and they wish to escape the wrath of God. And that would be what saved the people within. It seems so arbitrary in some respects, doesn't it? A bit of blood on a doorpost. But it wasn't the blood itself. It was what it represented. The slain lamb, the sacrifice, and the people looking to God in faith. But that blood was what would stand between that household facing death that night or receiving life. God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, it was not as, even though Israel was God's chosen people, it is not as though they were set apart from Egypt. They were in there, they were part of the people. They were a nation within a nation. And they needed to show they needed the blood. They needed the sacrifice. Otherwise, the judgment would befall them as well. And so God did indeed on that night come and pass over those houses that had the blood on the doorposts. But those who did not have the sacrifice of a lamb, who did not have the blood of the lamb on their doorposts, they suffered the judgment and the wrath of God with the firstborn of every house, even Pharaoh's household. The firstborn was taken by God. God brought about that plague on Egypt. And in that moment, in those moments of death and destruction, wrath brought upon the land, the people were set free from their slavery. And they went out into the wilderness to worship God. They were set free from the slavery. They were set free from the tyranny of Pharaoh. And they were able to leave Egypt and go to the promised land, the land that God had promised for them, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of blessing. They were able to enter into covenant with God and to receive the blessing from his hand and the joy of having him as their God. He would dwell in their midst and go with them. And so every year afterwards, they were to remember the Passover as a perpetual remembrance. And so every time after this, they would do it in remembrance of what God had done. In the same way that we took Lord's Supper before, remembering what Christ had done. They would look back and they would see how God had brought them out of Egypt, how he had delivered them. And so they were supposed to, each year, celebrate the Passover meal, put the blood on the doorposts, take the lamb, eat with unleavened bread, look back in remembrance on what God had done. And it was during that time when Jesus was on the scene with his 12 disciples that they celebrated the Passover. And in some sense, it was the final for Passover. It was the final remembrance looking back with the sacrifice of that lamb, because Jesus was on the scene to fulfill that sacrifice, to fulfill what Passover pointed to. How did the final Passover, how did Jesus fulfill the Passover? Well, we must remember that God's people are a people like a nation within a nation. God's people are his chosen people, but they are in captivity. They are in captivity to death. They are in captivity to Satan. They are in captivity to sin. We are in slavery But God comes and he says, let my people go. And God has sent many messengers into the world so that both the world and his people may hear and they have this opportunity to repent and put their faith and trust in God. He has sent his prophets. He sent his only son, Jesus. And down through the ages, since the biblical times, there's been the word of God going out into the world, and there have been multitudes of God's people proclaiming this word and taking it out into the world, even your friends and your neighbors sharing with you the gospel. The word has gone out. But like in Egypt, many have hardened their heart against God's word. But God sent Jesus, his messenger, with miracles to demonstrate the power of God, to undermine Satan and sin, to show the world that he is the God of gods and the gods of this age will fall. And eventually, after many reprieves and with much patience on God's part, God will one day pour out his wrath, finally and fully, on justice. He will pour out his wrath. He will bring judgment on all sin and unrighteousness. He will reveal his terrible judgment, and he will demand the lives of those who stand against him. But like in Egypt, he has made a way of escape for his people. For anyone who will hear the word of the Lord, to look to him in faith, they can be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ came as our once for all Passover lamb, who died that the people might escape the wrath of God. God is kind and gracious and provides a way of escape for all those who would look to him, Jesus, as a substitute to stand in your place. He suffered in our place. He took our sin on his shoulders, and he would be the Passover lamb who would die so that God's wrath would pass over his people. The way of escape is to have another die on our behalf, the lamb's blood shed and the blood of the lamb taken to cover us, to cover over us. Now, right now, it's as though we live in the intervening time. On that first Passover, they shared the meal on that night, and then later in the night, God's angel passed over Egypt. And we are living in that intervening time where the lamb has been shed, the lamb's blood has been shed, Jesus Christ has died, his sacrifice has been made, but the final and full revelation of God's judgment has not yet come. We live in this now but not yet time, this intervening time, this time of reprieve where God's salvation is being held out, where the good news of this Passover lamb, this sacrifice that has been made on your behalf, is held out. We live under God's patience, waiting for the many to repent and turn to him in faith, to take hold of him by faith. But God's wrath will still be revealed. And the wrath that was poured out on Jesus was sufficient for all of God's people. But there are many people whose hearts are hardened and who will stand before God and say, basically, I'm going to deal with God's wrath on my own. I'm not going to get any help from Jesus. That's what it means to stand against God. That's what it means to reject Jesus. And so my invitation, my hope, my desire is that you would find freedom, that you would find new life, that you'd find righteousness in Christ, that you would find an escape from the wrath of God in Jesus our Lord. I know that many of you already believe this and are trusting in Jesus. And in fact, we showed that before as we came and we took of this meal. But it is my admonition to you to continue remaining in this, to stay under the blood of the Lamb, to not go and look at the things of the world, the pleasures of this life, and to chase after them in a way that leads you away from God. You must stay under the blood of the Lamb. You must keep hold of him by faith. Like Israel, as they left Egypt, you have received the blood of the Lamb, and you are going out into the wilderness on your journey to the promised land. God has that promised land held out for all of his people. But as the writer to the Hebrews says, do not harden your heart. You've received this wonderful thing, and yet we start to treat it as common and profane. Do not harden your heart against the word of the Lord and what he is calling you to. There was a whole generation lost along the way of those who had heard the word, but they rejected it. Hear the word and do not reject him along the way because it gets tough, because it doesn't match with what the world says, because it's inconvenient, because it requires of you your whole life. It is better for you to lose your whole life, everything that you have, everything that you are, all that makes up your identity, because when you lay it all down and when you lose it all, you gain it all in Jesus Christ. You gain great life in him. I want to finish with these verses from Romans that remind us of what God has done. God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. That's what I want you to remember today. We're looking at the light. We're looking at the resurrection in a couple days. But today, I want you to rest, to be reminded of, to reflect on the fact that in the death of Christ, we have been saved by him from the wrath of God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the deliverance that is ours in Christ, our Passover lamb. Lord, please keep us from hardening our heart against your word. And Lord, even for those of us who have heard this word, who have walked this path, Lord, keep us from rebelling against you and dying in the wilderness like your so many people did. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Lord, help us to rest under this blood. And as a people saved, to come out from that slavery to sin, that slavery to death. We thank you, Lord, that Satan is disarmed, that death is disarmed, that sin is no longer our master in Christ. Please, Lord, help us to heed the word and to turn to you all the days of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.